This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, the constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. Coming up on this week's show, we're at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. It's an annual gathering of the leading voices in religious broadcasting. And a little later in the show, we'll hear from Dr. Jerry Johnson, president of the National Religious Broadcasters. Also, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins was part of a panel at the convention dealing with the topic of censorship, and we'll hear some of his remarks in our third segment. But first, Tony sat down with Fox News reporter Kelly Wright to talk about the recent rash of corporations taking political stands that could potentially alienate half of their customers. Here now is Tony Perkins on the floor of the NRB convention with Kelly Wright.
Kelly, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about this issue. I want to talk about this corporate activism. There's a price tag associated with that.
There is. There's a price tag. Well, actually, there's a price tag to individual actions as well.
Yes.
But when you look at it from a corporate standpoint, I think a lot of corporations are looking at the situations that we're exposed to in our society right now. Obviously, we're very divided along racial, political lines, and even faith lines, and that some corporations are beginning to react from not only the public pressure, but perhaps from what CEOs perceive to be problems that could, one, affect their bottom line.
Right.
Now, this tragedy that unfolded at Parkland, I think it has sent shockwaves and caused many people to shudder in terms of what do we do in order to implement something that would safeguard our children and our teachers. And I'm not here to cast my opinion about it, but I think the corporate activism that we're seeing that right now are based on what corporations and their board of directors and their CEOs are deeming necessary to take action. And to that end, when you act, there's going to be a response.
Right. Well, there was a time when corporations, they provided a service, they provided a product, they did widgets, whatever it was, they did that, they focused on that. But we've seen in the last decade where corporations have become more of a player in really controversial public policy issues.
Yeah.
Now, this case with Papa John's, they weren't looking to get involved. They got drug in by the NFL and the controversy over the anthem. But it's interesting that they're responding, and I think this is the case. Ultimately, these corporations respond to the bottom line, and they were losing business.
Yeah.
And so they're now cutting ties with the NFL.
Yeah. And they were losing business because a lot of people spoke out against them. And so those are the risks that people take, that corporations take, even getting involved in the
right.
fray of our social issues and social justice reforms and things of that nature. And there's certainly the gun legislation reform. That's we're seeing more of that develop. I mean, FedEx took the approach, well, we're still going to give you the discounts, NRA, but we're going to also express that we disagree with some of the stands that you've taken in light of this recent tragedy. We would like to see some gun legislation, some modification of it. Of course, we had the president talking about that today, as well as members of Congress seeking ways of how they can deal with this issue. But FedEx took an approach of saying, we're going to stand with you, NRA, but we're also going to voice our opinions. Perhaps Delta could have done that.
Yeah.
That would have been just as effective, maybe not as effective as Delta thinks that it is, but now Delta's incurred a lot of wrath from other people.
It's like they're picking sides.
Exactly.
On these issues where, again, people, they fly Delta because they want to get someplace or they want, I'm a million miler with
yeah.
Delta Airlines.
Well, good for you. I haven't achieved that yet.
Well, unfortunately, I fly too much. But all I want to do, I want them to get me there safely and comfortably. I don't want them to give me their political spin.
And that's what's happening. A lot of people are entering into the political fray. A lot of corporations
Why this enticement to weigh in?
Let's look at the nature of what's going on in America right now. We're at a point wherein we're constantly bombarded with news from both sides of the aisle, the left, the right, and in between would be the American people trying to decide well, which way do I go?
Right.
And corporations are, I think, feeling the same angst that American people are experiencing, but they're getting more involved because they have the dollars to do it, and they're expressing their political opinions. I don't think they should be doing that, actually.
Well, Kelly, is that coming from the boardroom, or is it coming from shareholders that are pushing them to get involved?
I think it's a combination of all the above.
Okay.
And since I'm not in on the CEO's boardroom and his meetings, I would have to say it's coming from all of the above, because, you know, you have people who are saying, do something. I support you. I fly, on your airlines. If there's something wrong, try to deal with it. But now I see corporations stepping out with foundations to help people, to lift them up. Now I see corporations stepping in to fights, and they're taking sides.
Yeah.
The only side I would like to see a corporation take is to always lift people up, if you're helping a charity.
Absolutely. No question. You have the, going back years, the Ford Foundation.
Yeah.
But now they've delved into more liberal causes that, when you think about it, these corporations that have foundations or direct engagement, they're taking the profits they derive from your business to use against you on policy or cultural issues. And I think a lot of conservatives in particular, that's why we've talked, there's a Second Vote, which is an app which we promote. Dr. David Black, who originated that, lets people know what these corporations are engaged in. I think it's as consumers, we should be responsible with where we spend our money.
Absolutely, we should be aware. That's part of consumer awareness. I'm glad that David Black launched that app, because that allows a conservative or a person of faith to say, I don't want to buy that product because they support this particular situation that I don't really favor. This is going against my belief. It's going against my values. So I think the consumer needs to be armed with that kind of knowledge.
Kelly Wright, my guest. You're listening to Washington Watch. Kelly, you catch him on weekends, Fox News. Also doing some of the overnight newscasting as well. I think America has become a much more politically polarized country.
There I couldn't agree with you more. And it hurts me, because I have often said that we are a better country than this. We were not, our founding fathers did not envision this. We are more polarized than ever before, not just along political lines, but racial lines. And
Do you think that's true on racial lines?
I think it's true. I mean, even today, I posted on my Facebook page one of the columns that Billy Graham had written about race. And he talked about how he had this relationship with Martin Luther King Jr. And he said, racism is one of our biggest social justice problems. And this was written some time ago, in all fairness. But he went on to say that we have to look at racism as a sin. I look at political division as a sin. It's an affront to God when men and women can't come together and unite and have a seat at the table of brotherhood. If we don't start standing up for our nation and bringing our nation some healing and some reconciliation, we'll never have the transformative power that our founding fathers envisioned with those documents of the Constitution.
Is what we see playing, we were just talking about what was playing out at the NFL, which was a combination of race division, respect for America.
Right.
And I've never seen it that great, that pronounced.
Tony, it's all colliding right now.
Yeah.
I have a habit of saying, sometimes when you get caught up in the arguments, you find that words collide and divide.
Yeah.
Which is why I also like using music, because music harmonizes and unites.
Well, not when I sing.
Look, we can all sing together, though.
Okay.
We can always talk together.
I'll do backup
The bottom line, my point is, there's healing for our nation, but it comes as a result of us being honest and open and transparent in front of each other.
Kelly Wright, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Good to talk with
you. Let's do it again.
If you want to find out more about Kelly Wright, head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, I want to invite you to be a part of keeping Washington Watch on the air by going to TonyPerkins.com and making a tax-deductible contribution. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a look at a growing number of censorship issues targeting Christians.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. A conservative media company has sued YouTube, saying that the online video giant illegally censored the short videos it produces. Here to talk about the increasing problem of censorship is NRB President Dr. Jerry Johnson and FRC President Tony Perkins.
Jerry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, welcome to NRB, Tony. Of course, you're a member. You're in the House. You're in your home here. You're part of what we're doing. But welcome, listeners, to NRB. We're bringing you to the floor. You hear the buzz in the background. It's an exciting place.
It really is. A lot going on. The Vice President was here yesterday speaking. A great validation of the work that you're doing. But this is something that you see as a problem on the horizon, and National Religious Broadcasters is taking a leading role in bringing together the voices of religious broadcasters to fight this censorship that's being conducted by the left through these big tech companies.
Tony, we've been working on this project for about a year, and what happened in the last month was that NRB TV, our television station, was blocked by Google, and
which is the parent company of YouTube.
That's and so they said it was objectionable content. We've asked them, you know, what was it? Why was it? We haven't heard the answer yet. They just put us back on. But I think it's just when these liberals in Silicon Valley hear something they don't like, they just take you off the air.
Talk about, this is not just a flash in the pan. It's not just one incident here or there. You've actually gone back and you have, over the last almost decade, as more and more people become reliant upon these social media platforms, you're showing, you've established a pattern.
Yeah, we've got a timeline. Your listeners can go to internetfreedomwatch.org, internetfreedomwatch.org, and there's a long timeline. And it begins, Tony, in 2010 with Chuck Colson, the Manhattan Declaration.
Right, that was a part of it.
And Apple kicked them out of the App Store. That was really the first big example.
I remember.
Probably
that.
The most prominent recent example is a sitting member of the U.S. Congress, Marsha Blackburn, announcing her Senate campaign, mentioned the sale of body parts, and Twitter deleted that tweet.
Right.
I don't think the founding fathers had that kind of censorship in mind when they framed the First Amendment.
No, and the point that was made this morning, Dr. Johnson, in the session was that these, you know, people say, well, these are private companies. Well, but they're holding themselves out as the really the keeper of the virtual public square.
That's right. Well, they need to be shamed, first of all, because they do say that, oh, this is the world community. This is the American community. Well, not for everyone. And, you know, when you've got someone like Prager University, Alan Dershowitz, he's not a Christian. He's not a conservative. He's actually a liberal. He made this pro-Israel video, this anti-Palestinian terrorism video. You know, they booted him off of YouTube as well. And so it's interesting, Tony, it's our 75th anniversary, and NRB began because of industry censorship, private industry censorship 75 years ago with radio companies that were privately owned.
And a lot of that dealt with the issue of communism.
Well, that's right.
There were a lot of preachers that were taking on the issue of communism and its infiltration in this country. The big media, the private companies didn't like that. They began to censor, and that's what we see happening now.
Well, so what happened 75 years ago? They took these evangelical preachers off the air, put some liberal, sort of left-leaning preachers on the air, and NRB was formed. These evangelical preachers got together and say, let's go to Capitol Hill, let's go to the FCC, let's go to Congress. Within 2 or 3 years, we were all back on the air. Well, it's time again to rally because these are private companies But in the, you know, they're saying they're open, they're saying they're fair. You know, they're the ones championing net neutrality, so called. Right. Well, they're not neutral.
Anything
they're actually
they
very
champion.
Biased. They're very biased.
That's, you know, that was the first sign to me that it was not a good policy. When you look who is championing these particular policies, who are enemies of free speech, you know you're on the other side of the issue.
Well, now they've taken Mike Huckabee off Facebook. They've taken Todd Starnes off of Facebook. It's not just you and me. Dr. D. James Kennedy was kicked out of the Amazon Smiles, you know, the
right,
gift matching
right,
program.
Right.
So this is really ubiquitous.
And let me talk about this for a moment, because this story came out earlier this week that YouTube has this a group, I think it's about 100 people, that monitor
That's
these
right.
videos, and they'll flag them. They operate with anonymity. They have this non-disclosure form that they sign. Well, it was uncovered that at least one, could be more, are associated with the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is an anti-Christian organization that has been labeling Christian groups as hate groups. Is it any wonder, then, that we're seeing this Christian content tagged by YouTube and taken off or restricted so that certain people can't see it?
Now, Tony, we started documenting this about a year and a half ago, and it was these incidents of Starnes and Huckabee and so forth. And we, you know, we knew we were onto something, but we didn't know it was back of that. And what's happened this year is we've had employees come out,
right,
sort of official leaks and sometimes official statements. They actually do now have, all these companies now have screening committees, anonymous screening committees.
And they're not made up of conservatives.
No, and not even folks that are neutral.
Yeah.
They're made up of people who, in all cases, don't understand us, but in most cases are actually against us.
And what's interesting, there was a survey, a public policy survey that was done earlier this week that showed that now a majority of Americans, 55% of Americans, would like to see the government regulate big tech companies. Even among Republicans, who generally are not for regulation, they see what's happening.
You know, when we launched this at the National Press Club, Ted Cruz, the senator, had a tremendous idea, and that is, you know, Congress, by law, gives coverage to phone companies and electrical companies. They're not held liable if someone plans a murder over the phone or, you know, electrocutes someone with the power system, because it's an unbiased service that they offer. But if these tech companies, because they do now provide that on to internet providers and to edge providers like Yahoo and Facebook and Twitter, they can't be sued, you know, if someone plans a murder on their social media site. But if they're going to filter their site, if they're going to censor their site,
yeah,
it means there's tacit approval of, Cruz is proposing, perhaps Congress ought to lift those protections. If they're going to start censoring content, they should not enjoy the protection of neutrality, because they are not neutral.
Very, very good point. All right, what's the plan? What is the counteroffensive? How are we going to defend the first freedom?
Well, we've got to go to internetfreedomwatch.org. That's the first thing. Your folks just need to see what's going on. And there's a place for them to enter their story. We're finding out common people have had their Facebook posts removed. We want to document all this. Number two, I think the Cruz strategy is a very possible track. We want hearings in the Senate, hearings in the House. But right now, we just need to shame these folks and say, you claim to be about community and openness and the public square. You're not. Let's first just call them to do the right thing together.
Yeah, absolutely. And if folks do that, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over, and by all means, let us know your story. I mean, as Jerry says, the more we can talk about this and show that this is happening across the board, the more powerful our message and our counter effort will be. From a standpoint of the future of the freedom of speech for religious broadcasters, what's on the horizon?
Well, I think we see what's on the horizon. This is the medium of the future. It's actually now, but it's the future, and it's not looking good. If people don't join Family Research Council, people don't get involved with NRB, I mean, we, as Franklin said, you know, we're going to have to hang together,
right,
or we will hang separately. I've got to say, though, there's hope. The FCC commissioner sent a message to NRB saying he knew this was a problem. We played the video
yesterday.
Ajit
Pai, great guy. we can win this.
We can.
But I think Christians need to realize that this is not just political speech you're talking about. This is not about activism. This is the gospel.
That's right.
That's what's at risk in this, because to those who are enemies of the light, the gospel is offensive.
Amen. And that's the reason the First Amendment has religion, speech, and press all together.
All right. Dr. Jerry Johnson, doing a great job. Thanks, Tommy, for hosting us this week.
I'll be back.
Great to be a partner with you.
All right.
If you want to find out more about Dr. Jerry Johnson and the National Religious Broadcasters, just head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, and you can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be back with a few words from Tony Perkins.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. During the National Religious Broadcasters Convention that happened this past week, FRC President Tony Perkins was part of a panel on censorship, and we want to share those comments with you now. Tony begins by addressing one of the causes of this censorship at YouTube.
It was reported earlier this week that we've known for a while that they have these flaggers, these people that look at the content of what's on here and rather than and these folks have all been, you know, undisclosed. They have to sign these non-disclosures. Nobody can really know who they are. You know, they probably sit in someone's basement in their pajamas doing this, but who knows? But they found out, it was revealed this week, that one of those individuals, at least one, is a part of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, I want to talk process for just a moment, because we tend to think the best of everyone and everything. We're optimistic. We really don't have room for pessimism. Well, there's some room for pessimism here. There is a organized, planned effort going on here. This stuff is not happening randomly. And if you've not ever read Rules for Radicals, I think you should really read that by Saul Alinsky. You've heard a lot about it, but if you haven't read it, you should, because it's still the playbook of the left. It is to marginalize, intimidate for the purpose of silencing. I mentioned the Southern Poverty Law Center as being one of those groups that is being used by Google to flag material on YouTube that's being taken down. Well, we've had quite a bit of interaction with the Southern Poverty Law Center, an anti-Christian organization from down south that used to do good work when it came to civil rights, but they have now taken up the banner of the LGBTQ XYZ agenda, and they are seeking to silence anyone who disagrees with them on policy issues. We know them because they have targeted our organization as a hate group, which resulted in a gunman coming into our building using their hate map and shooting one of our employees. They also tagged Steve Scalise as an extremist, who was also attacked and shot. We've seen this from the standpoint. Ben Carson has been on their list. There's about 40 different Christian organizations that have a biblical view of marriage that have been listed as hate groups. Well, that criteria now is being used by other leftist organizations. You think, well, that's fine. I don't have to contend with the left. Well, let me give you an example of what we dealt with just earlier this year. An organization called GuideStar, some of you might be familiar with that organization. It is a self-proclaimed neutral organization which rates nonprofits on items like transparency and financial dealings. It puts its seal of approval on nonprofits when many donors look to this entity as a guide for where they give their money. Well, earlier in June of 2017, while, you know, our organization had a great rating in terms of transparency, all of a sudden we saw that organizations labeled by the Southern Poverty Law Center as hate groups had a special banner put on their sites as a hate group, which
then triggered many employee-driven, employee-employer-driven contribution systems to then stop giving through that system because of the GuideStar rating. Well, we reached out several times to GuideStar. In fact, the CEO visited our office. We met with him, showed him the bullet holes in our wall that are still there that were inspired by the SPLC shooting. But they didn't budge. Well, we did a little more digging, found out that the GuideStar CEO, Jacob Harold, is a former employee of Greenpeace, and the Rainforest Action Network was a host for NARAL Pro-Choice DC Men's event in 2014. He blogged for the Huffington Post. He donated to the Obama campaign in 2011 before joining GuideStar. His wife is also a pro-abortion advocate. And better yet, Harold tweeted a picture of himself at the Women's March in January of last year, holding a protest sign obviously directed against President Trump. Does the left play fair? Absolutely not. And the idea that they are saying that they're objective is absolutely not true. They are going after conservative organizations and conservative individuals to intimidate them, if they can't intimidate them. They want to marginalize them for the purpose of silencing them. Now, we fought with GuideStar and ended up, we got those labels removed from GuideStar. But folks, if we don't use every tool available to push back on the left's intent of silencing Christian broadcasters and conservative broadcasters, we are going to wake up one day and our free speech in America is going to be gone. It is time to roll up our sleeves and fight for the first freedom that we as Americans enjoy.
You can find more on all of the topics we talk about here on Washington Watch when you visit tonyperkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to tonyperkins.com and clicking on the donate button. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.